Okay, you ready? Alleluia! Christ is risen!
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!
Well done. Just making sure you've learned something in the last couple of weeks. Well, what I've been thinking this week is that the COVID-19 pandemic needs a patron saint. And I think we couldn't do better than Thomas called Didymus. Didymus simply means twin. Thomas was a twin. Thomas, you see, could totally understand what we're going through right now. As Cindy said last week, just like 2,000 years ago, we went to bed one night in one world reality, and we woke up the next day to a new reality for the whole world. There's a lot in common between Thomas's time and ours as to how people go about dealing with the startling changes that come with the new reality. On Good Friday in 30 AD, the old reality was that people stayed dead. When you died, you stayed dead. On Easter morning in 30 AD, the startling change was that the tomb was empty. What had happened? Well, some deal with change by denying anything's different. Remember, the elders paid the guards at the tomb to lie and say that the disciples came and stole the body. Others not only accepted that new reality, that the empty tomb meant that Jesus wasn't dead anymore, but they lived totally different lives afterward. So in 30 AD, denial and acceptance were two ways that humans coped with change. So how about us? Well, on Friday, January 10th, 2020, fewer than 0.1% of people who got the seasonal flu virus died. By Sunday, January 13th, scores in China were sick and dying from a flu virus, a new flu virus. People, including at one time me, I admit it, didn't think it was all that bad. We thought folks were overreacting. We denied anything was different. Others said that this was a serious global pandemic and that no measures to contain it were too strong and the whole world would have to learn to live differently. So in 2020 AD, denial and acceptance are still two ways that humans cope with change. Back in 30 AD, a week after Easter, after the first Easter, the disciples were split, with Simon Peter telling everyone he'd seen Jesus alive, and Thomas saying he wasn't going to believe it unless he saw it for himself. Here in 2020, a week after the virus hit the United States, Americans were split, with some focused on economic stability and normalcy, and others focused on stopping an enemy we can't even see. Yes, Thomas's dilemma, the one 2,000 years ago, was resolved pretty quickly when Jesus himself came into the room. But in the time before Jesus showed himself to Thomas, while Thomas still doubted that Jesus' assertions that he would be raised from the dead, and while he still doubted his companions' experiences of the risen Christ, there was a split. A split, there were two groups, there were believers and there were doubters. Now, as I said, the best synonym for the Greek word to believe is not to give intellectual assent to a proposition, but is to put your trust in something to the point of betting your life on it. For example, intellectually, the fact is that Tom Brady has the skill and experience to lead the Bucks to the Super Bowl. After all, he's the GOAT of the NFL. I had to look up what GOAT meant because I thought that was kind of mean. Found out it meant the greatest of all time. But I'm not about to bet my life that Tom Brady is going to lead the Bucks to the Super Bowl. I won't even bet a beer on it. Sorry. Thomas doubted. Thomas didn't trust Mary Magdalene's and Peter's claims that things were different now. Thomas had decades of experience with death, and dead meant dead forever, like King David was dead. King David was still dead. Why should Thomas believe the ravings of other disciples, especially Peter, whom he knew to have often been impulsive and clueless? Yet, Thomas is my nominee for the patron saint of the pandemic because even in the midst of all of this change, conflict, and confusion, he refused to be like Judas and abandon his companions, to give up on everything Jesus had done. Thomas must still have had hope against hope that some kind of good would come out of the nightmare of Good Friday. Hope against hope that Jesus would somehow keep his promise. If he hadn't had any hope at all, Thomas would have made like a banana and split. Instead, he kept listening. He kept his mind open. He kept gathering with the others, with his companions. I love how the Collect of the Day reflects on this hope in the midst of confusion. O God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt. So in these days we're in right now, where reality is still unclear, where there are precious few solid answers, St. Thomas is my nominee for the patron saint of COVID-19, the saint for those of us who hope against hope that God is still somehow in the midst of all of this and is working for good, the saint for all of us who woke up in a new reality and don't know what to make of it, but who can be both skeptical and hopeful, both firm in our convictions and yet willing to keep gathering with those who differ from us and listen. In addition to a patron saint for this pandemic, we could also use a coach, a guide on how to navigate these times of change and conflict and confusion. Now, the most obvious coach, I suppose we would say, would be Jesus, of course, who gave his life to change the world in a time of violence, graft, and class domination, to change it with eternal life, the power of peace and justice and compassion. But even Jesus had a role model for living a world-changing life, and that role model was Moses. We come on Moses in today's story just after he has encountered God in a burning bush out in the wilderness of Midian. Moses was a prince of Egypt who murdered a man and for years had been a fugitive from the law, hiding in another country. Far from his royal life, Moses is now a lowly shepherd wandering in the lowly hills of Midian. And God tells Moses that he has a job for him to do. He wants him to deliver the oppressed Hebrew people from the mighty Pharaoh. Moses says he's not fit for the job. God says he is. Moses said no one believed that God sent him. God says they will. And he gives Moses some signs to use. First, God tells Moses to throw his shepherd's rods down and turns it into a snake. And what did Moses do when he saw the snake? He does what 99.9% of human beings do when they see a snake. They jump back, way back. Then God tells Moses, go pick up the snake's tail. Stop right there. Pick up a snake's tail. Remember that trust I talked about earlier? Moses had a decision to make, to run for his life away from this demanding and, let's face it, dangerous deity, or to bet his life on God's promise to free the Hebrew people. Moses picks up the snake. It turns back into his shepherd's rod. Whew. Then God tells Moses to put his hand in his coat and then to draw it out. Newly full of trust, Moses does so, and his hand comes out diseased. Nice. Maybe he should have run. God says, do it again. Put your coat back in, put your hand back in your coat. Now, why would Moses do that again? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What's going to happen now? Would it be a bloody stump? But back to that trusting again. Moses bets his life that God is good, and he sticks his hand back in, and he draws it out, and it's normal. But Moses now bets his life on God's promise to free the Israelites, even though God's plan is cockamamie. God's plan is to send Moses into the mighty Pharaoh's palace, into a world where things got done through contemptuous pride, ruthless oppression, and haughty superiority. In God's name, Moses was to tell the awesome Pharaoh, "Let my people go! Let all the slaves, all the foreigners and nobodies that do all your work, let them go, free them!" It was a ridiculous plan. But Moses must have figured if it worked, it was worth giving his life for. Who better to coach us, Easter people, than Moses, whom even Jesus quoted? We learn from Moses how to bet our lives on God's promises, even though God's plan for us is also cockamamie. God sends us into a world where things get done through class warfare, relentless ridicule, and cynical consumerism. In God's name, we, the Easter people, are to go out into the world and tell owners and laborers, rich and poor, female and male, of God's promise of happiness for all of us. Happiness that will be found only in the abundant life that God gives the world through Christ Jesus. A God who forgives even those who deny him, who gives hope even to those who doubt him, who blesses those even those who have nothing to give him, and who cannot be stopped, not even by death. We, the Easter people, need to rely on only one thing as we bet our lives on the promises of this God. Are you ready? Alleluia! Christ is risen!
The Lord